Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf tet. And yesterday we were talking about the question of the requirement for building the sukkah, and we said the important thing is that it has to be built l'shem tzel. So we have those two sets of rakbash sukkahs or gonbach sukkahs. All right, so here we're talking about a sukkah that was built some time ago. There was no interest in building this sukkah to build it for the purposes of a sukkah. Now that, I mean, is that really important? I thought we said that gonbach and rakbash is fine, even though it wasn't being made for a sukkah, as long as it was made for shade. We said it was okay. Now, all of a sudden, we are introducing a new issue, and that is a sukkah made for shade alone. Is it a kosher sukkah? Or do you need to have an intent to build a sukkah, l'shem mitzvah sukkah? The same way you need to make your matzahs, l'shem matzahs mitzvah. So maybe you need l'shem sukkahs mitzvah. So what would be the deal if you have a sukkah that was built stam in the middle of the year, right? And it wasn't built l'shem sukkah. Of course, when we say sukkah built, we don't mean the walls. We mean the schach was put on. Now, this is a very normal kind of situation where you build, let's say, a patio that's got a covering of slats that would be kosher for schach, right? And you build this as a patio. You have no intent of using it as a sukkah. And then comes along sukkahs 3 months later, and you say, oh, wow, great. I don't have to go around picking up branches because I've got a kosher patio with slats on it that are kosher for a sukkah, so that should be perfectly okay. Is it okay or not? Basically, oh, so sure, it's okay. Why not? It provides shade, doesn't it? And that's all that you need. But Beit Shammai are poslin and Beit Hillel are machshirin. Beit Shammai obviously holds that you need to have an intention of building something as a sukkah. Now, when we say a sukkah yishana, I mean, we talked about in terms of time. What do we mean by in terms of time? Well, remember that 30 days before every yontav, we're busy discussing the dinim of that yontav, right? So that would mean that during the 30-day period, if somebody built something, min hastam, he's thinking about using it for sukkahs. So that's what we meant by saying it's old. So kol she'asa'a kodem l'chag shloshim yom, if you made it 30 days before the chag, then we assume you're not thinking about chag HaSukkot. Aval im asa'a l'shem chag, if you specifically constructed originally to be able to use for sukkahs, then even if you would have made it from the beginning of the year, afilu mitchilat hashana, it would be perfectly okay. Now, the problem is with this, that the Yerushalmi says that Beit Hillel does not hold that it's okay unless you do something, some small thing to be mechadesh badavar. Now, this is what gives people all these problems with their patios. Because if you make it lechatchila, l'shem sukkah, but it's made for other purposes, we'll talk about that in a moment, but assuming that it's a sukkah yeshana over here, and wasn't made specifically l'shem chag. So then, what exactly would be l'chadesh b'davar, as the Yerushalmi says? That's a machlokas in the Yerushalmi. I'm sure you're all familiar with the idea of moving every other piece of schach, so that way, if you lifted a tefach, then you were l'chadesh b'davar al pnei kula, and at that point, it becomes a new kind of sukkah, which is okay. So that would mean, even according to Beit Hillel, this chiyav of being l'chadesh b'davar is a real hassle. Because when you go ahead and you build a patio with these slats, so that means that next year you're going to need to be mechadesh badavar because it's an old sukkah. The problem is, gentlemen, that it does say over here in the Mishnah that if it was made l'shem chag, so then it doesn't matter how old it is, it would always be kosher. So it would always be the equivalent of a new sukkah, like these new walks that Gavi gives us every day that are like, Ki'ilu Hayom is the first time you've ever seen such beautiful things. So that would mean, and this the Chazon Ish points out, everybody's got in mind multiple usages. I mean, if you go ahead and you build a patio, I understand that you're going to be using it all year round, but you certainly build that patio with an intent, wow, I'll be able to use this for sukkahs, right? So if that's the case, that means that every patio is built mitchilat hashana. Now, these words of afilu mitchilat hashana l'shem chag, we understand that these words are very meaningful for Beit Shammai, because, okay, otherwise it would be pasul. But Tosis points out that they're very meaningful for Beit Hillel as well, because for Beit Hillel, we'd mean that you would not have to worry about the Yerushalmi's l'chadesh ba'davar if it was made specifically for a sukkah. Therefore, Tainas the Chazon Ish, that look, if you have in mind multiple uses, meaning this patio is going to be used for sukkahs, and obviously I'm going to use it for a patio all year round, whenever the weather's nice, right? Then you would not have to be mechadish b'davar. And in that case, this entire halacha that drives people crazy, how do I build a patio in a way that I'll be able to use it for sukkahs and so on, is irrelevant, because you are always building it l'shem sukkah, assuming that you did. I mean, obviously, you know, if you bought an old house for Begoy or something, that wouldn't be true. But normally speaking, it's a shame Ira isn't here, because he just had this big shiloh on his new house. According to the Chazon Ish, it would be okay. Anyway, let's take a look at understanding where this comes from. My time at a Beit Shammai. Where would Beit Shammai get the idea that you have to build a sukkah for purposes of sukkah? Omakro chag hasukot shivat yamim la'shem. So this is a sukkah. We say chag hasukot. We're darshaning that pasuk to mean, I mean, it's chag hasukot la'shem means make the chag, make the sukkah la'shem. It's a chag of sukkot made la'shem. That means it has to be made l'shem the mitzvah of sukkahs, which has to be l'shem chag. And Beit Hillel says, no, that pasuk means what Reb Sheshes says it means. The Omer of Sheshes Mishum Rabbi Akiva. How do we know that Atzei Sukkah are Asurin Kol Shiv'ah? That if you set aside your pieces of schach and you make a sukkah out of it, how do I know that you're not allowed to use anything that was made for the sukkah during the yontif for other purposes? Talmud lomar chag hasukot shivat yamim la'Hashem, from which we understand that the shame of chag is the equivalent over here of being set aside for Hashem. Doesn't mean it needs to be in your mind set aside. It means that it really is set aside. And there is another similar halacha that Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera put it a little differently, that the chag asukot shivat yamim la'Hashem is because of the word chag. V'tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera omer, look, a chag means a korban chagiga, right? That's what we're going to be chogeg means. So k'shem shechal shem shamayim al ha-chagiga, kach chal shem shamayim al ha-sukah. Shenemar chag asukot shivat yamim la'Hashem. So it's calling it similar to the chag, machag la'Hashem, af sukkah la'Hashem. So therefore, we're going to darshan the pasuk to mean that the sukkah has to be made in the same way that the chag is made. That's a different issue. So doesn't Beit Shammai need it to tell me that? Yes, you're right. He does. The pasuk actually comes to tell me that there's an isser of utilizing parts of the sukkah for anything else. Now, by the way, I'm sure you are all familiar with the idea that we applied all over, that something that is set aside for a mitzvah is a derabbanan halacha of muktzah l'shem mitzvah. And now we're bringing this as a d'oraisa. So is it a d'oraisa or is it one of the dinim of muktzah? So Tosfos has a number of different approaches for this. Tosfos says there's two different halachas of muktzah. The halacha d'oraita over here is only so long as the building is a sukkah. Suppose the sukkah collapses and it's no longer a sukkah, then it's not the sukkah b'd'oraisa. That's halacha in the d'rabbanan, that something set aside has a din of muktzah to it. But then it would no longer apply. Or another possibility, the Rabbeinu Tam, that only the extent that was necessary to the kashrus of sukkah would be a d'oraisa set aside as muktzah. Anything that was above and beyond the minimal shear of the requirements for the sukkah would not have been muktzah d'oraita. Come along the rabbanan and they say, look, whatever is muktzah l'shem mitzvah, I mean, even if you put up decorations for the sukkah, that's not required for the sukkah, the decorations, that's also included in muktzah l'shem mitzvah. So there is a d'oraisa and there is a d'rabbanan. But anyway, going back to Beit Shammai. So we thought that Beit Shammai was going to be learning the Pasuk of Lashem, that is coming to tell me it has to be L'shem the Mitzvah Hashem. Now it turns out that we needed to tell me this other halacha. So where indeed does Beit Shammai get it from? We obviously made a mistake. Elamai tamai the Beit Shammai. There's another Pasuk. Chag HaSukkot ta'aseh lecha shivat yamim. So that Lashon is coming to tell me this is already beyond all the psukim that we read, but this is already from Dvorim. So that comes to tell me that Sukkah ha'asuya l'shem chag b'inan. You need to have a sukkah that is specifically meant chag HaSukkot ta'aseh. We understand Sukkah ta'aseh l'chag. Make your sukkah specifically for the chag. And Beit Hillel says, no, that comes to tell me you can make a sukkah in the middle of Chol HaMoed. Because you might have thought that Shivat Yamim is like Reb Eliezer. Reb Eliezer holds that a sukkah needs to be usable for all 7 days in order to be called a sukkah. So if you're just going to be able to build a sukkah now in the middle of Chol HaMoed and there's only 4 days left of the Chag, that is not a sukkah of Shivat Yamim. And therefore it's possible entirely. Comes along Beit Hillel to say, no, the point of the Pasuk is, make a sukkah during the Chag. So in other words, Chag HaSukkot ta'aseh, meaning even on Chag, Sukkot ta'aseh. Obviously, you can't do it on Yom Tov, but you can do it on Kol HaMoed. That's what Beit Hillel understands. Beit Shammai, why doesn't he need it for that? Because he doesn't believe that's true. Beit Shammai holds like Rebbe Eliezer, and Rebbe Eliezer says you cannot make a kosher sukkah b'Kol HaShomoed. Because since it's not a sukkah shiva, it's not considered to be a sukkah at all. So in other words, according to Beit Hillel, if we don't have a special pasuk, which we don't, so then you do not need a tzorach mitzvah to be made l'shem oto mitzvah. So in other words, Beit Hillel, they don't hold of this halacha that we always quote. Reb Yehuda said this in the name of Rav, Omer Reb Yehuda, Omer Rav, suppose you make tzitzit from kotzin, or from nimin, or from gradin. So let's suppose you make the tzitzis from threads that were not put in the fabric, l'shem tzitzit, they're just the broken threads. Sometimes a thread will break, you knot it, and then you have a piece of thread that's sticking out from the area above the knot, right? So we call those kotzim because they're like thorns in the beggar that need to be cut out afterwards to smooth it off. So you left it and you used it to make tzitzis. Or you could make it from the nimim, you know, or you could make it from the gradim. So if you would, the gradim would sometimes, people will sew like a design, or they'll put the, what's called the edging, you know, the pretty edging that when you buy material. So they'll put edging around it. Or if there's fringes that are left from the leftover of the weave, and then you tie them, the chassis, you tie them, and it's very pretty. And so over here, you want to use those hanging threads that were left over from the original work. They weren't put in for purposes of tzitzit. They're puzzle. Why are they puzzle? Because apparently it needs to be lishma. And over here, you were just using it to make the beged. So that's not kosher. If you make minasisin, you take the threads from a spool of threads and you put it in, that's kosher because you don't need special threads. You do need, however, threads that were put in the beged, l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. This was Rav Yehuda had learned from Rav, but then when Rav was nifter, remember that Rav Yehuda went to learn by Shmuel, and he would say over the Piskei Halachas of Rav to Shmuel. So he would often say, as he does here, Ki Amritak, I made a Shmuel when I came and was learning by Shmuel, and I said over these halachas to Shmuel, he said to me, not true, you cannot take just plain old thread off of a spool of threads and use them for tzitzit, because you also need the actual making of the thread, which is the spinning of the thread needs to be done. L'shem mitzvah tzitzit. And therefore, but look, I mean, everybody, Rav, Shmuel, everybody agrees, minimally, you of course have to make the insertion of the threads has to be l'shem tzitzit. So in other words, here Beit Hillel is saying, no, there's no need to make a tzorech ha-mitzvah, there's no need to do it l'shma. That's astounding. You mean they're all going like Beit Shammai? So how do you explain it? So then we should need Hachinami. Why does Beit Hillel say no? According to this principle, Niboy Sukkah Suya L'shma. If you need the tzitzit to be made, I mean, even the spinning, my God, according to Shmuel, but certainly the insertion. So why don't I need the building of the sukkah for L'shei Mitzvah Tzitzit? Says the Gemara, what do you think? It's a general principle? It's not a general principle. Over there we had a pasuk that told us that it has to be made Lishma. Shining us, and by the tzitzes, the Torah says, Gedilim ta'ase lach. What do you mean, lach? Make these twisted threads for you. For you? I mean, well, it has to be for me, personally? No, lach means l'shem chovcha. Make these tzitzit for the purpose of the mitzvah, which is yours. Do you have a pasuk like that by sukkah? No. Therefore, you don't have to make it l'shem the mitzvah. What do you mean, no? Do you have a pasuk like that by sukkah? Yes. Chag HaSukkot ta'aseh lecha. That sure sounds like the same thing as Gedilim ta'aseh lach. So why isn't it exactly the same? Hachanami Chag HaSukkot ta'aseh lecha. It says lecha means l'shem chovcha. That's what you said, that it means you need to make it in order to be yotzi your mitzvah. Now, but it's true, it does say that, but that I need for another purpose, which is more primary. And that is, says Beit Hillel, that pasuk is coming to tell me it's got to be your own materials for a sukkah. That's what it says. Tasa lach, make sure you didn't steal it. That's what it's saying. So then I don't get it. So then why doesn't it mean the same thing for tzitzis? You need to make tzitzis not stolen. Same thing. So then, Hatsumnami, why don't we say the same thing is true by the tzitzit? Says the Gemara, I don't need it for that. Because remember, there's another pasuk that says, Ve'asulahem tzitzit, right? Ve'asulahem means mishalahem. Those tzitzit have to be made from something that you didn't steal, that it's actually yours. So therefore, I have the extra pasuk of lach to mean the fact and that it's lishma, and there everybody is made. The only question is, how much lishma? Is it the actual asiya of the gedilim, meaning the spinning of the gedilim? Because gedil means twisted, which is spun. Or does it just mean putting them into the beget? Okay, that's the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Now, our kapitan has been waiting for this amazing moment that was already foreshadowed by Rav Barnea, and we at last reach that moment. Ha'oseh sukkato tachat ha'ilan ki'ilu asa'a b'toch ha'bayit. Suppose you build your sukkah right underneath this beautiful leafy tree. And basically the tree is giving you the shade. So then you might as well build a sukkah in a house, you know? That's a funny way of saying things. Could have just said it's puzzle. So that we'll be talking about in the Gemara. And suppose you have one sukkah on top of another sukkah. So you've got a two-story sukkah. So the upper story is kosher because it's not a sukkah under a sukkah. But the lower sukkah is puzzle because, as we'll see, we're learning out from the pasuk that you can't be living in a sukkah that has a different cover than the sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, well, if nobody's in the upper sukkah, what's wrong with the lower sukkah using the kosher schach of the upper sukkah? So what exactly it has to do with people living in the upper sukkah is sort of a mystery, and that the Gemara is going to discuss. What does Rabbi Yehuda mean by saying im ein diorin? So now let's take a look at the idea of a tree. Says Rava, look, it doesn't mean any tree is going to be puzzled to build a sukkah under. You could build a sukkah under a tree, but only if the tree is leaving you enough light that you need to build a sukkah. So in other words, Lo shana ba'ilan shetzilato meruba mechamato. When do we say that you cannot build it under the tree? That's dafka, a tree where you've got more shade than sun, and therefore you're basically sitting in the shade of the tree. But if that tree does not have very thick leaves, and it allows in more chama than sail, so then it would be kosher. What makes me say this, says Rava, the weird way that the Mishnah puts the din. Midiktoni ki'ilu asa'a betoch ha'bayit. What is it saying? It's as if you made it in the house. I mean, what a funny way to say. Lama le'lamitne ki'ilu asa'a betoch ha'bayit. Just say that a sukkah that is built under a tree is possible. I mean, what's this, like a house? Eloha kamashman, instead of telling me straight out that it's a psul because it's in the house, because the truth is there's no difference. I mean, how do we know that a sukkah that's built in the house would be psul? Only because you can't build a sukkah inside a sukkah. It's the same pusik. So, I mean, we're going to make one is the model, the house is the model, and the tree is like the house. I mean, maybe the tree is the model, and the house is like the tree. I mean, why would the Mishnah say this, Bichlo? Eloha kamashmalan. The whole point over here is that it's trying to explain to you that we're only referring to a tree that's like a house. Ilan dumya de bayit. Ma bayit silato meruba michamato. Af ilan silato meruba michamato. The only type of tree that passels is a tree that's providing you the type of shading that a house provides. Now, gentlemen, we need to consider another problem. Does a tree have sufficient leaves that one leaf or branches, that one leaf is lovud to the next leaf? I mean, let me ask you something. You're building a sukkah underneath the neighbor's laundry lines. So you say, okay, laundry lines, I mean, yeah, they barely provide any type of shade. So this is a perfectly kosher sukkah because it's not under anything. What about lovud? Each one of those, if you would build a wall for your sukkah out of that laundry line, it would be a kosher wall, right? As long as it's within three tvachim, which it always is. Laundry lines don't have three tvachim between them usually. So then building a sukkah under the neighbor's laundry lines, it should be possible because of lovud. So then kosher cane building a sukkah under a tree, I mean, you're saying there's not that much shade. Forget about the shade. It's all one solid piece according to the halacha because of lovud. What are you going to say about that? So one possibility is, okay, a tree is different. A tree, because of the fact that it's constantly moving, the leaves are moving, you can't say lovud on something that doesn't have any kviyut, and that's not considered to be a bechitza either, as we saw. Well, we're going to see anyway when we saw it back in Erevin, but we'll see here in Sukkah again. That's one possibility. But according to that possibility, the clothing line indeed would passel your sukkah because we would view it as one solid piece. Now, the truth is there's big machlokas haposkim as to whether lovud is said lechumra or lovud is said lekula. And remember that we had that whole question about ki'ati hilchata legarea or ki'ati hilchata is dafka to be mosif that we had earlier about whether we need that extra fourth wall, which was one of the possible explanations we had in the machlokas there. So this is indeed a machlokas among the poskim, I mean the achronim that are poskim. And since there are those who hold, we have to be machmir, so lechora would be posel because of lovud. But there's another possibility. The other possibility is that maybe lovud only works where your intention is to use it as a covering. I mean, over here, the intent is to use it for something that you want to use in the hole, namely to hang your tzitzis on. Isn't that what they use? That must be why the two sugyas are next to each other. What else are clotheslines used for, right? So you want to hang your tzitzit on the clothesline, so that means that you're going to be, you can't say that it's made as something that is closed, right? So mamela, it shouldn't be a psul. So then Reb Shloimeh Zalman was given the following shaila. Very often, people make these pretty soragim, forgot how you call that in English, a grating over a window for protection, but they make it with like a belly to be able to put plants on. You see this very often. So the soreg goes on an angle, or even a fancy curve, if you can afford it, and it sticks out of the house. Now, the problem is it sticks out of the house generally over somebody else's sukkah, especially the way buildings are made nowadays here, right, where it's just all you've got for your sukkah is that little porch, and that porch is underneath the other guy's window, but the other guy extended his window with soregim. So now the question is are soregim the equivalent of clotheslines? Or are they the equivalent of lovud? So over there, Reb Shlomo Zalman says, now that's a problem. Why? Because over there, you actually build the soreg to be a mechitza, because you're trying to prevent the ganav from coming into your house, right? Or your kid from falling out the window. So in that case, you know, it depends what's more important, your kid or your money, but that was all a question in the, that we just had about B'nai Menashe, right? B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuven. So, fine. Not really, though, but that's the way the Medrash puts it, yeah? So the question is, over there, he says, it wouldn't be kosher. But there is one way to make it kosher, says Reb Shlomo Zalman. What you could do is you could use the soragim as supports for the schach. Now, that leads to a whole other issue. Wait a sec. Don't we always put, like, sticks across the top of the sukkah that are not kosher for schach, and yet we don't say that they're lavud? Why don't we say that those sticks are lavud? And that you've already posseled your sukkah because you covered the top of a sukkah with a lattice that's going to support your branches, and that lattice work is lavud, and therefore it's a tikra, and it posseled your sukkah. So that itself should be a problem, no? So that, like, this whole sukkah is so wild. So all of a sudden, we're ignoring it, according to those who say that you say love of the Chumra. So all of a sudden, like, we're going to include all of this as a kosher sukkah. How did that happen? Not only that, Reb Shlomo Zalman's going to be using the actual soreg as a kosher sukkah too. So in other words, it's quite clear from here that something where your whole intent is that you're using the middle of the thing, then you can't say it's lovewood because you need to keep it open. And lovewood is a virtuality. The moment you put something in between it, you can't view it as lovewood. So therefore, brilliantly, Reb Shlomo Zalman says, you could always turn the soreg into slats for support of your sukkah. Okay, interesting. Anyway, but all of these sukkahs, of course, very, very nageah, la halacha bizman hazeh. Okay. So therefore, comes on Rav, and he says, look, the very fact that I'm viewing the sukkah as possible because it's as if it's built in the house is telling me that if there's tselata meruba, it's chamata meruba, it's okay. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean it's okay? How is it okay? If you're telling me that the tree is providing some shade, so you're telling me it's not providing all the shade. Okay, fine, it's not providing all the shade, but it's providing some of the shade. So why are we not utilizing schach posel together with schach kosher? And a tree can't be schach, a tree is connected to the ground, and it's still growing, and what we need is psolet, goren, v'yekeb. So that means that any area that has any of that tree over it is basically not considered to be providing the schach, the shade itself, and therefore I'm utilizing the shade of the tree. So how can I do that? So, I mean, I understand that you could tell me, well, we're talking about over here where you have most of the tzel is provided by the kosher schach, even including the tzel that's provided by the tree, right? Tosfos asks this kasha. Why does the Gemara just say? What we're talking about over here is that it's possible. Come back. It's possible because of this issue. It's talking about a case only where there's more tzel. And it's kosher in a case where there would be less tzel. I mean, so why don't we just answer that question right now like that? So Tosfos says, look, it's because Rava made a statement which just seems to be a categorical statement. I mean, he's saying that it would always be kosher no matter how much of its tzel was necessary. That's our problem. But Ein Hachinami, theoretically, we could simply have said, who cares? I don't need the schach from the tree. And if I don't need the schach from the tree, and therefore I'm not in the equivalent of under a roof, so then it would be perfectly kosher. Omer of Papa. So then in the case where you actually need the upper schach, how could you utilize it? It's talking about bishechavatan, where you push down the branches of the tree and you mix them together with the schach that's kosher. And therefore, you were mevatel the schach that is posel in the schach that's kosher. So then I don't get it. So then what's the chiddush? I mean, obviously, if you go according to the rov, don't we always go according to the rov? So there'd be no problem, right? No, because I'll tell you, you're right. There isn't really theoretically much of a Kiddush over here. But since Mao the Tema, I might have thought that Nigzar Echad Chavtan Ato Echad Lo Chavtan. How many people see you making a sukkah under a tree? They will think that they can, oh, wow, that's great. I don't need that much tzach because I got plenty of shade from the tree. I'll just put a couple of sparse branches up here on my sukkah, make it look like a sukkah so the kids will think that we're sitting in a sukkah which is made with my tzach, but really the tree is providing the tzach. That's what somebody might do, and if he does that, then he's sitting under a sukkah psula because most of the shade is provided by tzach posel. So mal de tema, we should be gozer in a case where you actually were chovet, because people may use it where it's not chovet, comes along the Mishnah to tell me, no, there's no such gzeira, we don't have to worry about it. And the thing is that we know that from a different Mishnah, so that can't be the explanation, because anami tanina. This is a Mishnah that says later on, beferish, that the halacha is hidla alea et hagefen vet hadalat vet hakisus. Let's say that you grew over your patio. So you grew these beautiful grapevines, very common, right? Or you had these pump, these gourds, or you even just plain ivy. People grow ivy all the time. It grows all over, beautiful thick covering. And it says in the Mishnah, you put schach on that, it's possible. But if there was more kosher schach, or if you detached the things that were growing from the ground, so then it would be kosher. So, I mean, what do you think the case is in that Mishnah? Hechidami. If it's talking about, well, you didn't put them two schachot together in shalochavtan, so then you'd be mitzar schach pasul with schach kosher. So it's got to be talking a case where you did chavtam, you did mix them together. So then we already know from that Mishnah, so what do I need this Mishnah for, the way that Rava just explained it? No, because ma de tema ani mila bidi avad. Look, I mean, over there it says, heed la alea, if you did it. Not that you're allowed to do it. If you did it, so you can be ma'akshar, but l'chat chila, this is not the right circuit to use. Because, I mean, isn't there a loch of ein mevatam isr l'chat chila? I mean, maybe you're not allowed to rely on the Rav for this. Maybe that's the question. Or maybe we should avoid it because of the ma'al de tema, that people may come to be ma'akshir. So therefore, kamash malan, this Tana comes along and says that in addition to that, it can also be used even l'chatchila. Maybe that's what it means. Okay, before we continue, I just want to point out that there's a very fascinating issue over here. When I'm chovet the schach onto the other schach, I mean, that would imply that if I have a bunch of bugs that are crawling around in my lettuce, you know, that I don't need to worry about it because they're mixed. I mean, I understand, you know, I see these branches that are growing out of the ground, and I'm going to call that mixed? I mean, this is mixed? It's nicker. So how in the world is it mixed? You say, well, I don't have to take out the bugs. I mean, okay, there's the maybe only crushed bugs, you know, because the Rabbanan or Gozer Biria, but it certainly shouldn't be considered to be a deraisa problem because there's no taroves, because there's a taroves. So the Ran actually asks this question, that normally we view a taroves as being something where it's not clearly evident which part is kosher and which part is pasul. But how can we call this a taroves when it's very obvious that some of these trees are your pine leaves that are growing from your pine tree and your chutzar, and the rest of them are bamboo? It doesn't look anything like that. And like, how are you calling this a taroves, Bichlal? So he says that in Achinami, we would never call something like this a normal taroves, right? And this is something that is miyuchad specifically for this. Let me just bring you the lashon of the Ran. Oh, I don't have it up. But he says that this, in this case where we're talking about the inyan of the schach and the tzel, we don't need literally a taroves. We just need that the mixture over here of the tzel and the light should be considered to be mixed. But you shouldn't learn dinim of taroves from here. Two dots, sukkah, agabi sukkah. So we learned that if you have one sukkah on top of the other sukkah, it's pasul. Where do we get that idea from? You can't have a two-story sukkah. Why can't you have a two-story sukkah? Tana Rabbanan, since it says in the pasuk, basukot teshvu, basukot means not in two sukkahs, only in one sukkah. So lo b'sukkah shetachat ha-sukkah, which implies lo b'sukkah shetachat ha-ilan, lo b'sukkah shebetoch ha-bayit. What? B'sukkot is plural, on the contrary. Adarava, b'sukkot means two sukkot. So if anything, the pasuk is telling you don't worry about sitting in a multiple-storied sukkah. So what's the problem here? Amar Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak, but it still doesn't say it b'sukkot with a vav. It's pronounced b'sukkot, but it writes b'sukkat teshvu. Why do you think the Torah does that? This has nothing to do with the question of Yeshem Lamikra, Yeshem Lamasar, as Tosis points out. You're still going to have to explain the fact that the Torah leaves out the vav for some reason. Now, leaving out the vav is in order for you to be Dorish, this reality, that it has to be a sukkot, meaning in general, but your particular sukkah cannot be a multiple-storied sukkah.